the sound.
If you remember. And it was one of the last things Jesus did, right foot washing. You remember when we if you were here last week, you can go on the website, AZ Family Church, if you wanted to hear that, because this week is going to be the power of foot washing linen cloth, what it's going to be called. Power foot washing linen cloth. You know, as I was preparing this morning and just thinking and praying and realizing, you know, the Word of God, I started thinking about King David and how it said that he was a man that pursued the heart of God, a man after God's own heart. I started thinking about the Word of God and all the information, thinking from Genesis to Revelation. There's a lot of information, right? A lot of wonderful historical facts about this world, the beginning of the world. The Bible's so amazing. We know about the beginning of the world, what God wanted us to know right now. And then he's given us what he wants us to know about the ending of the world, right? But in all those places from Genesis to Revelation, the main thing about this, the Word of God, the Bible, amen, the inspired, perfect, infallible Word of God, it's about the heart of God. And see, so I was thinking about King David, how he was pursuing the heart of God. He was a man after God's own heart. And so as we're speaking this morning, you know, we can look at things, hear stories, or hear some preaching and start saying, if we're not careful, just, oh, how can I just add this to my life? But this morning, I would ask that the Lord would touch all our hearts and our ears to open and Lord, say, Lord, may we know a little bit more about your heart today. So many times we're not careful, we're all caught up in our own heart and all the situations and struggles that an individual or a family or a nation or a community has, right? And there's many. But amongst all of this, what really it is, Lord, that you would show us your heart. What is your heart like? What is your heart towards people? And so I've mentioned it the last few weeks, kind of laying that foundation. Lord, may we know your heart for us and for people. Amen. How much he cares for us. Let me just say this. How much he loves us. The things as David began to pursue God, as he was not only a shepherd boy, amen, he did some amazing things. Goliath slew him, the bear, the lion, became a king. And then also he became a prophet. And many of those things that God showed him when he became a prophet that he wrote down in Psalms, he was seeing the heart of God. In the heart of God. Let me just say this morning, regardless of what you're facing or going through, I want you to know that he loves you. But most of the time, it's either the struggles we have are our own doing, right? Sowing and reaping. Or it's the enemy coming against us. It is not God doing those things to you. He loves you. I'm telling you the truth there. He loves you. He has good plans for people. Amen? He's not the source of your problems, but he is the source of your victory. Amen and amen. He is the source of your victory. Man, if he's the source of my problems, then we're all in trouble. No, sin, this fallen world, and Satan, the little g, the little god of this world, he is the source that ails all of mankind, deceiving people. If people weren't deceived, what would this world be like? Well, the power of the enemy is through deception. Amen. He works through people, but God is always looking to restore you, heal you, deliver you to understand his freedom, amen, to bring you closer to him, to touch your marriage, your relationships. Over a lifetime these things take, but his heart is for you. Can I say that this morning? His heart is for you. And so on this power of foot washing, as we read this, that the Lord will help us to have ears to hear. And I'm going to read the account in John 13 and then go through some things on that. Real quick, I want to mention that last week I talked about when you're born again, having that born again spirit, right? Jesus said to them, says, hey, you just need your feet washed. The rest of you's clean. And remember what Peter said, hey, don't wash my hands, wash my head. What did Jesus said? No, you just need your feet washed. You know, you have this born-again spirit, but we walk on this planet, this earth. You have flesh, amen? You have a soul realm, so these are the things that we deal with. What Romans 12 says, renewing your mind. So as you're growing and walking with the Lord, you're hopefully renewing your mind to know the heart of God, to understand God, to grow closer to him, to grow in him. And so you have that first position of sanctification of your spirit, then you have this soul realm. Anybody ever experienced the soul realm? Yeah, I did this morning. You know, we have these things, getting frustrated about something. And then what I say, it says, simmer, let that go, move on, amen. But I realize that's my soul realm. We got our flesh. If your flesh ever been tired, has your flesh ever told you just stay in bed all day or whatever? We've talked about that. So understanding this, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. And so as we can, but I can't digress there. I must go on. I'm going to start on John 13. We're going to read this entire thing together. Now before the feast of the Passover, John 13, 1, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he'd loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, one who has... Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. Jesus said to him, the one who has... does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand that I have what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And so, Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning again. Thank you for ministering to each heart. Honor and bless you. In Jesus' name we hear. You know, we listen to the story, we hear of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, but, you know, maybe you haven't heard much about the towel. Because he washed their feet, but it said he also dried them with a towel. And if you look at that towel, if I'm going to look a little bit into it, if the significance of that towel. So he did not just wash their feet, wiped their feet with that towel. And that towel in the original Greek means linen cloth. Linen cloth. So he was washing their feet, and he was wiping their feet with a linen cloth. You know, why a linen cloth? Let me just say, when we get right into it right now, linen cloth, we'll look at some Old Testament scriptures, and we'll also look at Revelation. It represents right. Represents a representation of righteousness. Jesus not only washing their feet, but wiping their feet. But he didn't just wash them and leave it up and said, that's it, that's enough. No, he finished the job. He washed them. Amen. And then he cleansed him. Let's go to Revelation. Let's just go right into Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Revelation. It says, let's rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared herself. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, that fine linen. Did you know that the marriage supper of the Lamb, it depicts right there, fine linen. And you might read that right there. It says, well, look, it says the righteous acts of the saints. Well, hold on a second. Let's look at some other scripture and take it into context. You know what Isaiah 64, 6 says, and it says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. Who's everybody? That's everybody. Amen? Every human being. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, says, for all have become like one who is unclean. And all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our wrongdoings, like the wind, take us away. So it's verse talking about that all our deeds, all our righteousness is filthy rags. I was talking today with the Denny's. We were talking about different false religions and those different things that you see in society, cults. And the one thing they have in common is works-oriented, right? It's working your way to heaven. It's somehow being able to do enough works to outweigh the balance of good and bad that somehow you might be one of the fortunate or lucky ones that actually maybe could go into heaven. Or maybe not suffer a hell as quite as bad as somebody else. So when you think about those things, even Islam, what is Islam based upon? Works 100%. If you think about some of the things with Mormonism, Jehovah Witnesses, it's all works based. Can I just say that? So what it is, it gets you focused on what you can do, what your ability is, what you can muster up in yourself and your own strength to say, hey, look at my list of accomplishments. I am righteous. You know, if you look at Isaiah, this Isaiah chapter 64:6, it's actually, I'm going to read it in the Net Bible here. It actually means something a little bit more crude. So forgive me in advance, but this is what this self-righteousness, according to Isaiah 64:6, actually means. Once again, let me say, what are we talking about, this self-righteousness? Things that you can do, that you can point to and say, look, I'm pleasing to God. And look at, I'm pleasing to God. Now we'll get into some things of what God does, but look at my list of what I've done. Isaiah 64:6 says, we are all like one who is unclean. All our so-called righteous acts are like a menstrual rag in your sight. That's what it really means when you get into the Hebrew. A menstrual rag in your sight. We all wither like a leaf. Our sins carry us away like the wind. You say, why are you bringing that up? Because I'm going back to Revelation. These things that he's given us, they're his righteousness. His righteousness becoming our righteousness. This linen rag that Jesus wiped their feet with was a representation of what would happen after he rose again from the grave, where that rag, that linen cloth, would be his righteousness, wiping my feet, cleaning me, so I can stand pure and holy in his sight. There's no other way. And when it becomes something that of myself, my own doing, or pointing the fingers at others, it becomes like that rag I'm talking about. Becomes foul. It becomes it doesn't. It's not acceptable. It's beyond reproachable. Actually, I don't have to get any more details there, do I? And so when he says, I bet clean that they would be dressed in linen cloth. Did you know when you give your life to Jesus Christ by faith? Yes, we repent and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, Lord. Come into my life. Did you know he gives you linen cloth to wear? Did you know that? Not only does he change you on the inside, but the inner tunic becomes linen cloth, becomes his righteous deeds in your life, his righteous acts for you. Did you know that? And when you realize that, gives you confidence. So this last thing that he does for his disciples before they go to the garden, he says, hey, let me wash your feet. Let me show you. If we're not careful, we can get into religious tradition and say, hey, let's wash each other's feet and not know anything about what it's really talking about. See, my feet will get dirty again. We'll have to have another get together and wash each other's feet. And we could do it all an outward show and have nothing changed or an understanding of what it means in the inner man. In the inner man. The thing that was interesting is Jesus removed his outer garments. The undergarments, his tunic, which the servants would put on, it was, you know, that would be made out of linen. The outer garments may have some wool in them for warmth. But you don't want to wear wool, right? You ever wore wool? Can it get a little itchy? Yeah. He took his outer garments on. Jesus just wearing his tunic. Puts that towel around his waist, gets down on his feet, begins to wash them. This would be the washing of the word. This is the thing, him washing you, saying, this is who you are in Christ. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you put your trust and faith in me for the washing of your sins, that word goes over your feet, your heart, again and again and again until you draw your last breath, telling you who you are in Jesus Christ. And then that rag, that linen cloth, wiping you clean again. When you go out and struggle and make a mistake, who do we come to for washing our feet? Jesus, over and over and over and over again. He's always got that linen cloth for you to wash your feet and to wipe them, amen, and set you back on the path that he desires for you, hallelujah. Let me say right now here, regardless of where you are right now, he has a linen cloth for you if you're willing to accept it, willing to say, Lord Jesus, by faith, I do repent of those struggles. Lord, wash me and cleanse me with that linen cloth, and it is done by faith. You're as good as brand new. Good is brand new. You know, that's good news. I said, that's good news. That gives me confidence tomorrow morning that I can get up with a new song in my heart, amen, praising him and worshiping him and pursuing him without waiting for the other shoe to drop. And when the other shoe drops, Jesus is there to wash it and to wipe it clean again. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would make those things real by revelation in our hearts of who you are, your love for us, Father God, that we can walk in pure confidence with you, Father God, as we pursue you, as we walk with you in this thing called life, pursuing your heart. It's amazing the things that David found as he pursued the heart of God. He must have thought, no telling what he thought he might find, but when he started finding out, like in Psalms 40, that, Lord, you don't desire the sacrifice in the meal or the meal offering. No, you want us, Lord Jesus. You want to live in us. As he began to see those things, as he pursued them, it must have blown him away. He was seeing things that nobody had seen before. And as we pursue the Lord and his love, he will show us things that will blow us away. Amen? He'll show us things about his character, what he thinks about us, what he thinks about your family, what he thinks about your situation, where you're at, where the good times are, where the struggles are. He'll show you those things of who you are, his heart towards you. If there's anything I want in this coming year, say, Lord, reveal it. Show me your heart for me, what you think of us. It's easy with everything that's going on in the world. We're not careful in the things we see in politics. We just talked about them, that we'll start thinking that God's heart towards them is just to kill them and destroy them. Well, the truth is, he paid the price for the sins of the whole world. He wants to save everybody who's willing to repent and give Jesus their lives. He's not willing that any would perish, amen? He's not willing that your worst enemy that you have in your mind right now would perish. You may be wishing they'd fry. You may be wishing they'd go down. But God's heart is, man, that I love them. They're made in my image. Oh, that they would come to know me. God's heart and desire is people would come to know him. The church should be a body that of believers, like even what Darlene said today, forgiving one another, loving one another, revealing the heart of God to one another. Amen? But other people could say, I want that. Instead of coming into a place where it's like opposite of what they want because they can't measure up or they can't figure it out, but that God's heart would be revealed through all of us. Amen? Amen and amen. Jesus removed his outer garment. You know what's interesting is when it goes through that, when it go to the next thing is we had that. Number one was the towel. In the Greek, the linen cloth. Number two, I want to talk about wool. Wool is the sheep's self-efforts. I talked a little bit about that, but I want to take you to a scripture in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, where God just kind of opened this up. In Ezekiel 44, it says this, And it shall be that when they enter at the gates of the inner courtyard, they shall be clothed with linen garments. Did you hear this talking about the priests in the Old Testament? But it's a representation of you and I today. The old revealed in the new. And wool shall, it says, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and wool shall not be worn by them while they are ministering in the gates of the inner courtyard or in the house. Did you hear that? linen turbans shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments shall be around their waist. They shall not put on anything that makes them wet. Your own efforts. They had to wear linen, could not wear wool. See, there's things that, of course, were things that were due for the Lord, but only your righteousness, your freedom, your acceptance by Him is 100% by His righteousness, His linen, amen, that He gives you, that He wipes your feet with. And anything that's self-effort by the sheep is wool. All it brings is irritation. All it's going to bring in, all it's going to bring things in your life that are going to cause you to doubt God's work in your life. It's going to be things that come into your life that you're not going to have confidence. Your own self-efforts, like here, this wool, it just causes problems to doubt the Lord. Irritations will come in our lives, and then we'll start looking at ourselves again and getting on that same wheel where we're doing things on our own. And next thing you know, we're wearing more wool. Then we begin to wear more wool. And then we begin to sweat. Then we begin to get weary and tired. Let me tell you, if you're weary and tired in your walk with your Lord, with the Lord, let me ask you, are you wearing the clothing of wool of self-effort to make yourself acceptable to Him? Let me ask you this today, that you would exchange that wool, take that wool off like this in Ezekiel, and put on His righteousness. Think of yourself in white linen. It's freeing. Amen. Doesn't itch. It's not your own self-effort. And the once you, when you're wearing His linen, all of a sudden the things that He's doing from the inside out, your heart pursues Him. Not out of trying to work, but out of, Lord, my love for You, what You've done for me. How can I help but do things that You've placed in me, giftings, abilities, and talents? How can I not give my life to You? And you're not getting out of them to compare yourself to others. You're doing them because He's already washed you. He's already made you white. You've already got linen on. And the wool begins to fall off, and you're walking in pure linen. The sweat of our own self-effort. You could be hearing that for the first time and say, man, I don't know about that. But I assure you that it's only His linen, His righteousness, that can make you white as snow. Though your sins be like scarlet, if you'll work hard enough, they'll be white as snow. If you'll be able to behave to the degree that you need to, you'll be white as snow. No, it says His blood will make you white as snow. Amen. And that will be the linen of His righteousness in yours and my life. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. We know wool is made from sheep's wool. Wool is representative of self-work, self-righteousness. Shall not sweat. Linen is Christ righteousness. Wool is self-righteousness. You know, that, like I said, the priests were not allowed to sweat, but it's not by your effort. You know, I think of the rich young ruler, many self-works like the rich young ruler. So he took pride in what he did, didn't he? But it wasn't enough. He said, Jesus said, well, go and sell what you have. But what, even though he took pride in his following the law, what he did, and I'm sure he had a heart for the Lord, but it still wasn't enough. Let me just tell you today, regardless of your efforts and your love for the God, it'll never be enough if that's what you're looking for. If that's what you're looking for for your confidence, if that's what you're looking for your strength, if that's what you're looking for to have God accept you, I promise you, it'll never be enough. Amen? You know, you can tithe and give to local charities. You can feed the poor. You can be married to one wife, although you may be emotionally or physically divorced. But you can have that marriage certificate to prove I'm righteous. I've got the bumper stickers, the t-shirt, the hats, been to every church service. My checks say I'm born again, Sunday school teacher, laid hands on the sick, been on a missions trip, cried a river of tears for my sins, spoke in tongues, prophesied. I'm on the worship team, quit drugs, quit drinking, no alcohol, have no tattoos in my body. I do everything a church leader tells me, and you could end up completely filthy in your own self. You know, it is only His righteousness that makes me clean, and then His righteousness shows up in my life in true freedom, holding no record of wrong towards others. Can I talk a little bit about that? Darlene Nenny mentioned that today. Holding no records of wrong towards others, forgiving others when they have offended me. His righteousness becomes my acts of righteousness as a natural part of who I am. You know what? That is wonderful, wonderful news. I want to go to verse 12. I want to mention this real quick and just to get into the last part of this. When he had washed their feet, this is Jesus, and put on his outer garments, resumed his place, he said to them, "You understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher, Lord, and you're right, for so I am." And he says, If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Like, uh-oh. Some of you might be saying, hey, I was okay with everything until you mentioned that part. So how does he end it? He ends it up by saying, hey, you start talking about washing one another's feet. Let me ask you, how do we wash one another's feet? I'm not even talking about, I'm talking about in the sense of what Jesus was talking about here, about, you'll know later what I'm talking about, washing another's feet. I love John, a little bit further down in the chapter, this is what Jesus, I believe, is talking about in John 13, 34, just a little further down. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Wow. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You want to know how you're growing in his love and his grace? If you love other people. If you're willing to wipe other people's feet with that same cloth, amen, that Jesus wiped our, what did Jesus say? He said, what I have done to you, do to others. The hardest thing that might be in walking with the Lord is washing another person's feet, but taking that cloth, amen, that linen cloth, and wiping somebody else's feet and saying, I forgive you. Not only do I forgive you, but I bless you, amen. I'm for you, amen. I want to see God work in your life. The hardest thing in the body of Christ, I think, is willing to wipe other people's feet, amen. So how do we take a linen cloth to one another? It's in the scriptures, one of my favorite scriptures, most powerful scriptures, I think, in the Bible for the church, amen. Anybody here part of the Church of Jesus Christ? So 1 Peter 4, 7 through 9, it says the end of all things is at hand. We don't know when that is, but that's what the scripture says. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Taking that cloth, that linen cloth in your marriage as an example. So it's not just washing somebody's feet. We're talking about in the church, forgiving one another, but how about in a marriage? Taking, washing the things that we say, we talked about it over and over and over again, but this is where the Lord has put me to speak about, is being able, not only those words, but forgiving somebody, taking the linen cloth, his righteousness, and wiping the feet of your spouse over and over again. Forgiving those things that you say. How about with our kids, even the kids that we struggle with, showing them how to wash people's feet? Sometimes it's easy, I get to understand if you're raising kids, it's easy to focus on, okay, quit doing that, quit doing this, da, da, da. But if we would not forget how to wash our children's feet, showing them the love, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, showing them how to forgive, showing them how to talk to one another, amen? Showing them how to wipe people's feet. Amen? That's good news. Showing them how to wipe people's feet. Even as I have adult children now that things have changed, I do my best to show them or to wipe their feet in the best way I can. Showing them the love of God. Knowing there's things, little things they need to tweak, but showing him his righteousness with that linen cloth. Lord, that we would be a church. I don't think there'll ever be revival in America if we don't understand about washing people's feet. Look, the Corinthian church knew all about miracles. They knew all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but yet it was a church that was crumbling from within inside because they didn't know nothing about the love of God, and they were pursuing their own interest, and they knew nothing about washing each other's feet in any way, shape, or form. To have an impactful relationship, whether it be marriage, impactful families, impactful church, through the Spirit of God showing us, we need to know how to wash one another. Amen. That means it's going to require us to be kind to one another. It's going to require that we might even say hi to somebody. You know, washing, somebody coming into this church that just saying a kind word. Did you know you're washing their feet and you don't even realize it? You don't know what they've been through that week. You don't know what they faced. But you're taking that cloth, God's righteousness, wiping their feet. It can change the direction of an individual's life. Amen. It can be hard to dry other people's feet with the linen cloth of kindness. When people have attitudes towards us, amen, who you want to take that cloth and do this and go, you know what I'm talking about? That can be really fun. That can be really fun, right? Wipe their feet, want to tan their hide. You know, a little wet on the end. You know what I'm talking about. So it can be hard to dry others' feet with that linen towel of kindness, can't it? When people have attitudes towards us, whether a spouse, a child, a parent, co-worker, brother or sister in Christ, it can become difficult. But what we end up doing, if we're not careful, is we end up wiping people's feet with wool. Itchy wool, and making things worse, taking wool, taking our own things, our own attitudes, what we think are our rights, and we take our rights in the flesh, which is that wool, and we'll wipe their feet and actually make things worse. But when we take that linen, amen, we can take bad situation using God's Christ's righteousness. We can turn things around. Does it happen instantly? No. But I can guarantee you at some point, I promise you, I've discovered it in my own life, when we continue to do that with His righteousness, things slowly but surely, over time, I don't know when, but you just keep trusting God, things will change. Do not underestimate the power of kindness. We don't think it because we don't see kindness. We don't see it on TV. We don't hit in any way. It's not displayed anywhere if we're not careful. Even in the business Christian world, for some reason, kindness is considered something that you don't practice. But it's still the fruit of the Spirit. It's still what changes the directive in our lives. It can change the atmosphere in a home, in a business. It's kindness, that cloth, that changes things. There will be no revival until we're able, willing to wash one another's. I'm convinced of that. Where the religion will say, no, just do acts. Do acts of this. Pray for this person. Do this. And I'm not saying those are bad. But until we're really willing to wash each other's feet, there truly will not be a heart knitted together as one to go forward to change this. Amen. As Gina comes to the front, our piano, that is about all I got today. Can I get you to stand up with me? Amen. That's. Hey. Amen. Are anybody else here? Is that linen cloth your righteousness? Can I ask that? Amen. That linen cloth your righteousness, or are you dealing with a lot of wool? There's a lot of irritation. There's a lot of things maybe happening in your life. You don't realize it's because you're trying to do it on your own directive, your own strength, your own ability, or an understanding of God that's not even correct how He's for you. How He wants to take that linen cloth of His righteousness, wash your feet, wipe them. Oh, how He loves you. How He loves us. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for Your righteousness. Maybe just take a second. Maybe you can just take a second and just ponder and just say, Lord, speak to my heart. Speak to me, Lord. Any area, Lord, where I'm, where I've become irritated or upset or frustrated because I'm trying to do things on my own narrative, my own strength, my own ability. And maybe it's just time to take a breath and say, Lord, I just lay that wool down. I lay that wool down. And Lord, I pick up your righteousness, that linen cloth, as a priest of the Lord, amen, as a new covenant priest of the Lord. And Lord Jesus, you say, Lord, I put your linen on, your righteousness, cast off that heavy wool, cast off that itchy wool, cast off that pride that says, no, I want to keep my wool. These are the things that I've accomplished. These are the things that I use to maybe come against other people or compare myself to other people or condemn other people. It would be the Lord say, humble yourself, cast that off, pick up his linen, his righteousness, receive that by faith, amen, and say, Lord, I'm going to walk forward with you as you begin to show me your heart. Lord, as you begin to show me your heart, you know, who you are towards me, Lord, how much you care for me, my situation, Lord, how your blood was enough. Just allow his linen. Maybe the Lord is showing a different area where there's areas where there's been struggles, and the Lord is saying, hey, I would like you to start taking that linen and washing somebody else's feet. That'd be something the Holy Spirit, Jesus, would show you. Hey, Lord, how can I start using this, the kindness or the truths of the Word of God, or how can I help others in their struggles? How can I not beat up on somebody but actually help them moving forward, Lord? What's the linen that I can use of your righteousness to help somebody in their situation? Maybe this week the Lord will show you some people. Maybe it's right in your home. Maybe it's family. Maybe somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody here at church. The Lord says, hey, no more wool. No more accusations. No more nitpicking. Start taking lay that aside and let his linen use that to encourage somebody, to strengthen them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that you're there for them. Amen. That you have their best interest in mind. But Lord, we thank you for speaking to hearts this morning. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your strength. Amen. If you need any prayer this morning, if you need anybody to pray with you, if any situation, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I would love to introduce you to his righteousness. I would love to pray with you where you can exchange your sin for his righteousness. I'd like to tell you about the heart of God for you and what he wants to do in you and through you for his glory. If you have any other situation where you need prayer, someone to agree with you, please come up. We'd love to pray with you. And so with that, Father, we honor you. We bless you. We worship you. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God having an impact on our hearts today. Father God, moving forward this week, we thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for your face shining upon us. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for revealing your heart to us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Your goodness is running after.
You used your testimony there a little bit, brother. You were getting there. That's awesome. I saw that.